Well, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back, everybody. We're about to take a look at what's happening with the George Zimmerman trial. We have two writers with us who both write for The Root. Corey Dade is contributing editor to The Root, and his piece in this particular moment is called "Can Trayvon's Killer Win with Social Media?" And once again, we're also joined by Edward Wyckoff Williams, another contributing editor of The Root, and who interviewed Trayvon Martin's father and their attorney, and his piece is called "Trayvon Martin's Dad, My Kid Was Perfect to Me." We'll be posting both those on our website at steinershow.org. And Corey and Edward, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you, Mark.
Pleasure to be with you again, Mark.
Corey, let me just start with you. When I was reading your piece, I think this is so important to reflect on, is that this happens in many trials that are public trials, but this process, but it's kind of insidious in many ways, right, in this particular trial, of the work being done in advance to turn America against Trayvon Martin, to sympathize with Zimmerman, and how it's being done through the social media. To talk a bit about, because there's something, but there's a kind of a weird and ugly twist to this, at least for me. Not that I want to be editorializing what I just did. Corey?
No, I understand that. I think it's important, though, to remember that what came first was actually sympathy for Trayvon Martin as a victim on social media, and that social media chatter is what built national attention and built sort of the case for George Zimmerman's arrest. Because if you recall, 44 days had passed, much of the nation had not known about this case, and it bubbled up on social media and digital media, and that's how it started. Once Zimmerman engaged Mark O'Meara as an attorney, he's one of the leading defense attorneys in Orlando, very well known, very accomplished in criminal defense work. They did what was sort of unprecedented in a trial. We're used to people like Johnny Cochran or other sort of star defense attorneys who sort of litigate in advance their case with the media and press conferences. Well, O'Meara did it in social media, and he opened a website, a Twitter page, a Facebook account. At first, he started sort of beating back a lot of the misconceptions and about Zimmerman and the case. But then after that, he started actually using it in a sort of innovative way. He started putting the evidence that he was collecting online. And that's the value of living in Florida, because the public records laws are pretty liberal and you can put these records out there. And that information is what I wrote about, and how this whole strategy ends up potentially influencing jurors. It also, I'll give this last point, it also gives the defense a chance to engage on social media and actually use social media to actually gauge the opinions of the public, what they're most sensitive about, what they're most angry about, what they're most inquisitive about, and use that to build their defense argument about, according to what the jury may find interesting too. So it's sort of, I called it trial by jury in the 2.0 digital age.
Right. I'm going to come back to what you just said here, because I think that this is really does change in many ways the nature of trials and jurisprudence and how we judge things and what seeps into our consciousness. And Edward, it was always great to have you back with us here. And I was very taken by the interview you did with Trayvon Martin's father. And every time I can't help but just be clear about what I think on this. I mean, when I see that picture of Trayvon Martin and his dad's got his arm around his neck and his dad's kissing him, and Trayvon has this little smile on his face, his lips turned up. And the words of Trayvon Martin's father are that picture.
Yes, it was extremely powerful. And I thought that he summed up what most people, particularly in the African-American community, but isn't any sort of reasonable person, regardless of race, understands about this case, is that this was a child who was tracked and attacked in the dark, who was walking to go get snacks. And I think the first question that I asked about what he would have told his son differently, knowing that, knowing now that young black men in this society are still seen as suspicious, would that talk be any different, and what advice he would give? I actually was kind of surprised that Tracy Martin felt that there was no different advice, that he had done a very good job raising his son. And he said that you cannot prepare your child to contend with the warped mentality of someone else. And I think that ultimately, as the conversation continued, and Benjamin Crump, the attorney, elaborated on the fact that George Zimmerman had temazepam and Adderall in his system, and these are prescription drugs with serious, serious side effects that include insomnia and insomnia, aggressive behavior, anxiety, and hallucinations. And the fact that Mark O'Meara has been so strategic about trying to manipulate both social media and the press in order to focus so much on whatever bad behavior this teenager may have been engaged in his past, i.e. smoking marijuana at some point, as if that had any bearing on the case. Both the father and the attorney wanted more so to focus, as they should, on the fact that this man had a long record, both that included domestic violence and being arrested for attacking an officer, and the fact that he's now standing trial for murder shows that those are the real issues of the case. And the father, basically, even though I think that he's healing, that loss that he expressed in his words, I think, are really why this is such a tragedy. It really has less to do about race and the way that it's been constructed and the way that we often talk about it and write about it. This ultimately is no different from the grieving parents in Newtown, Connecticut. The difference, however, is this is a black child, and a black child who was basically in that in-between stage between childhood and manhood. And for some reason in this country, that child, the face of that child, is never given the dignity and respect of a victim.
And Corey, what Edward Wyckoff Williams was just saying, that this is, you know, it's about race, it's beyond race in some ways, looking at Newtown and things as he described. But if this strategy by the defense team to affect consciousness through social media and study how people are reacting to it, so they can figure out how they can twist their arguments in a trial to defend George Zimmerman, which they're right to as defense attorneys, it will become about race if Zimmerman walks away from this.
Well, I think there's no doubt. I think all you have to do is look at the police presence, the enormous police presence around the courthouse in Sanford, Florida this week. You don't have a lot of protesters out there right now, but if Zimmerman is acquitted, this will be taken as a racialized travesty of justice by many people, particularly many African Americans. I think that you know, the use of social media in particular is really bearing out already. I mean, you know, when we're doing jury selections now, and I've been live tweeting this for the past day and a half, and there isn't a person that they've interviewed yet in these among these potential jurors who hasn't heard about the case. But the majority of them, at first glance, would say, I haven't followed much, I haven't, you know, paid attention to the news very much. But then, upon further questioning, virtually every one of them, with the exception of a couple, starts to recite details, pretty specific details, about what they've gleaned about the case from news reports or from going online. So I think the influence is already there. The question is, can they sort of check that influence at the door and still operate impartially as jurors?
And that's what we don't know. That's what we're going to find out in the days ahead as they pick this jury, and you know, Edward, it when you read about Trayvon Martin, this young kid, as his father described him, who loved putting things together, could put together and take apart radios, anything mechanical, wanted to be a pilot. I mean, just, oh my God,
a kid who could have grown up to be another Barack Obama, and you know. That I think it's interesting because, you know, this is what the point of talking to the father ahead of Father's Day was, to humanize the victim. Because what I have begun to see is exactly what Corey is writing about. There's been a sea change in the way that this child is being discussed over the last year, and the images and the focus on whether or not he had smoked pot. And, you know, now they've released photos from his phone that included a gun in the photo. All of this is the power of suggestion, right? And that's what the father said, that they have no case. And the father actually went in and said, George Zimmerman has no defense and Mark O'Mara has no integrity, to basically try to use absolutely every old racial code in the book in order to frame this child as a thug. But when you hear the father talking about this boy spending 2 summers to get his pilot mechanic license, that he wanted to learn, that he said Trayvon would have learned to fly, and I would have been so proud of him. Like, this was not a kid who was wayward. This was a kid who had ambitions. This was a kid who was focused. And yes, we in our teenage years, we all have certain dalliances, and that's fine.
Yes, we do.
And that's what it means to be human, and it's also what it means to be living in a free society that allows you to learn from your own mistakes and to grow, but not to murder you in the dark when you're out trying to get Skittles and iced tea. Like, this, that should not be what is then defended. Like, that kind of behavior is being defended in social media. And I've glanced at some of the responses to my articles sometimes when I write about him, but particularly this latest one.
Yeah.
And it's so visceral. I can't even believe there are people who have the time to spend to attack a dead child and to defend a murderer, and a murderer with a violent past. Like, these are not people who know George Zimmerman personally, unless they're being paid by the Mark O'Mara team. I don't know if they have a real strategy that is actually that's systematic, but these people are, like, aggressively pushing for Zimmerman's acquittal, and they are willing to buy into a seriously negative and sick and twisted idea that this child was the aggressor.
And very, very quickly, Corey, we have about a minute left in the segment. Are you going to cover more of this, of this trial?
Oh, yeah. As soon as we finish, I go right back at it.
Well, we look forward to talking to you more in the coming days and next week and the coming weeks on this trial, both of you. And I appreciate the work you both do. Corey Day and Edward Wyckoff Williams are both contributing editors of Root, at The Root. And Corey wrote the piece called "Can Trayvon's Killer Win with the Social Media?" Edward Wyckoff Williams' latest piece, "Trayvon Martin's Dad, My Kid Was Perfect to Me," an interview with his father. We'll have them both online and continue covering this trial of George Zimmerman. And Corey and Edward, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Mark.
It's always a pleasure to have you all on the air. We're going to take a brief break. We'll come back and we'll go to traffic and come back after that. We're going to remember Dr. Homer Faber, who passed, with a recording we did in 2006 with all the Goon Squad together after the death of Perrin Mitchell. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back right after the top of the hour. Oh.